Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're doing some consignment stuff. You can get involved with construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call today, 303-289-1600. Go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling. You and your lovely wife are about to become Croatian sensations later on this week. How pumped are you?
Still, like, on the fringes of it. You know what I mean? It's like...
Hard to get excited for a trip when you're this far out?
Well... We're not that far out, but it just seems like I've got a lot of stuff still to
do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You always have things, and I'll be getting after it right up until the time that we leave, so which is great for me, and this is just me. Vacations for me start with the first good drink that I have at the airport when I'm getting on a plane. Does that make any sense? I go.
What kind of drink is that, Bruce?
Yeah, it would be an alcoholic one.
So you you drink at the airport.
I don't
mean you get loaded.
No, I have a drink.
You do
at the and it kind of it
sets the tone.
And it may say things about me that maybe I should think about.
What is your drink of choice?
It would probably be a nice cold beer.
Oh,
I would imagine. I'm not going to go all crazy.
What about for the missus? Does she partake?
No. She won't. She will have her pineapple juice and...
Metamucil?
No. No, she has...
She wants to be regular for the trip?
No, she's good. She has her own little concoction, and it's great.
Is there alcohol in it?
Nope. She may have a little wine on the plane or something like that.
I never drink on the plane. I never drink at the airport.
Good.
That's because I drink well before I go, usually at home before the 40-minute drive to the airport.
It for me is not even about having a drink. It's just signaling that, okay,
yeah,
I can let go of things now.
Yeah.
And moving forward, I'm on vacation.
If we're going on a long flight,
mm-hmm.
then I'll have a drink on the plane.
Well, Croatia's long.
It is.
So, anyway, although I'm flying to Frankfurt first, so.
Is there any type of layover there?
3.5 hours. Mm. It'll be fine. I can have some Wiener Schnitzel.
You will not.
I know I won't. Sounded like I needed to say that, though.
By the way, we have talked many times about this. That is the slow time of the season. This is the dead period as much as anything else. NBA finals are over. NHL finals will be over tonight. And then we have the Rockies. But there's really not much going on. I got to tell you something. To whoever produces the show, and I anchored nationally, so I feel I have some leeway to say this because I've worked in that environment in the anything overnight. And really, that's the garbage that you're serving up. Now, the Lakers are going to be even more popular because J.J. Redick is now the head coach, which he has conveniently become for many ESPN's punching bag as he used to be their colleague.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that's where you start. I'm trying to, what is another professional team that will always dictate?
Yankees
can do it, but there aren't many, are they? The Cowboys?
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, is that I learned a long time ago, and clearly a lot of people are not getting the memo on this either, that you never produce a show for yourself. Produce a show for your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can make the case that a lot of people like the Lakers, but it's 6 o'clock in the morning, at least our time, which is 5 o'clock in the morning in LA, and you're talking about the Lakers, how many people in New York at 8 o'clock in the morning care about the Lakers?
I would think probably not many.
I did the late shows, meaning when I anchored at CNN, I worked the late shift. I did the 2 o'clock in the morning show, which seems awful in Atlanta, but it's 11 o'clock at night in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you get eyes.
So we would produce,
you get eyes.
Well, 11 o'clock is prime time
on
the East Coast for a show like that.
Yeah.
Just like it is, in theory, in Los Angeles.
On the West Coast.
So you produce a West Coast show. You don't produce an East Coast show. But we know that there are certain people at ESPN that like the Cowboys, that want to talk about the Cowboys. There are certain people that want to talk about the Knicks. And those shows are produced for their anchors because of their own personal interest.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I've said this to young people coming up in the business. I grew up a Chicago Cubs fan. When I was at Fox 31, I mean, I would have a very strong hand, more than just a strong hand. I would produce the shows.
Of course you would.
Right.
Right.
Just like we do here.
Yes.
I mean, not to let everybody see the little man behind the curtain. It's not that I don't trust somebody to put together the show, but I want a heavy hand in it because I know what we would like to talk about.
Right.
Point is, I grew up a Cubs fan. When I was at Fox 31 and I did the shows there, you would not see Cubs highlights in the show.
Of course not.
No, of course not, but that's not what they do at ESPN, where they produce for themselves and they produce for their own personal interest. Yes, there is some national interest in some of the things that they are talking about. I get it. But a lot of it is their own personal, what did I watch last night because it was my team.
But that's kind of where we are going now. And I'm not saying it's a good destination.
It's just a burr in my saddle when
I hear garbage. Ya. Right. I mean, I hear you. Some of it can be interesting. I've got to admit, I watched.
What are the Lakers going to do in the offseason? Seriously? We have seen this movie weekly since the Lakers got knocked out.
I'm trying to.
Can't you come up with something new?
I'm trying to think of what I watch on ESPN, and it is something with scores. I watch things that have scoreboards involved. Right. There's not one show on ESPN. Is it Inside the NFL or what? It's not Inside the NFL. That's the HBO. But
no.
Whatever it is,
the NFL Live,
NFL Live, or NFL Daily, or whatever the hell it is. I will watch that every now and then if I'm in the gym during season.
Well, good. Get your load of Cowboys.
But I do watch that on occasion. But there is no appointment viewing for me.
No.
On ESPN, I don't. There are none of the opinion shows, the conversation shows. They just. I mean, I'll catch a 30 for 30 every now and then, which has really nothing to do with ESPN as much as it does the independent film producer that makes the work.
Again, the opinion shows and NFL Live is not necessarily an opinion show.
No.
It is mixed with plenty of journalism.
Right, a lot of information.
But the opinion shows are nothing more than a copycat version of what Roger Ailes started at Fox News. You put your opinion people in prime time. That's what drives the ratings. And CNN held out for a while. They wanted to keep doing news, and they realized they were getting buried in the ratings.
Right.
So they started doing it. MSNBC was a little bit before that, with your Rachel Maddows and things like that. People want to hear opinion, especially opinion, that they agree with. So now you have clowns like Stephen Smith, because the A stands for ends in hole, in my opinion. You have guys like him getting like $90 million contracts, which is, I believe, what he got over 5 years. And then you're letting go of talented people like Tim Legler, who I would rather listen to.
Yes.
Because this guy is hot take guy. And for some reason, we need to see what suit he's wearing when he's walking into the NBA Finals, like he's actually playing in the game, where you have that shot of the player walking in and going to the locker room. what we used to see with a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James or Steph. How's the guy dressed? What is Nikola Jokic wearing? I don't give a crap what Stephen Smith is wearing.
There are people that do, though.
Who?
There are.
Who? The lowest common denominator?
People are watching, apparently. On the local level, it's akin to female anchors or reporters who people write in and comment or leave comments on voicemail about the outfits they're wearing on a particular day.
Right.
It's staggering to me that people would spend 10 seconds commenting on how someone looks on the air. That falls to me into the category of get a blanking life.
Well, I'm going to go a direction that you and I briefly spoke about on the phone yesterday. I'll tell you what is becoming the new norm, which is nauseating to me, now that there are more eyes on the WNBA.
Uh-huh.
Now you have the Stephen Smith walk, right, along with the other players, but now you have the women posing. There's not just a shot of them walking in. Now they're posing like it's a fashion show. And if what I saw yesterday in the final 2 minutes of the Sky Fever game, which might be the worst basketball I have ever seen on any level in the final 2 minutes of any game, and yes, I'm including junior high school, stop it. It was the most pathetic brand of basketball I have ever seen, and that is not an exaggeration. Missed shots, missed free throws, bad passing, bad decisions. I told you on the phone, I don't even know who the woman's name was. She was standing under the basket for a layup, and she put the ball off the backboard to the other side of the backboard. It didn't even hit the rim. Stop with the posing and play better basketball in crunch time. And by the way, you might want to throw the ball to Caitlin Clark and let her hit a shot.
Well,
that's the only reason people are watching.
Caitlin Clark needed to take a shot down the stretch last night. She was a little too...
She's trying to do the right thing and be unselfish. There's a big white hot spotlight on her.
Yep.
And she's trying to be nice about it and do the right thing and get her teammates involved.
Yeah, they were up 15, though. And the only reason I know this is because I didn't see the last 2 minutes.
Oh,
but I saw
awful.
A fair portion of the third and beginning of the fourth quarter. And I knew enough that they were up like 15 or 13, or they were up big and then blew it down the stretch. I'm talking about Indiana. Having said that, and I don't doubt at all what you're saying.
It was brutal basketball.
I don't doubt
it. If I sat you down and watched it.
It wasn't a good game. The game that was competitive.
But the fashion show
wasn't
before,
even good.
But
see,
the
I don't
fashion
know
show.
That.
No, yeah. When they're walking in, and now the ladies are posing in front of the locker room door. Play basketball. Hit a jump shot. That's my answer.
But I will say this, people, and I'm glad for this, are paying attention to it. Now, to your point, make sure that you give people
something to watch.
Enough meat on the bone
right.
that they come back.
Right.
Don't make it a one-time thing. I checked in. What's the big deal
I'll
all
tell
about?
You this, Bruce.
Be good.
I'll tell you this. If the only WNBA basketball you have ever watched was the final 2 minutes of that game yesterday, you would literally never want to watch a game.
You aren't coming back. Huh?
There's no way. You are done. Like on the Rotten Tomatoes listing for movies, that got about a 4.
Ooh.
You would never, ever go back again. I'll tell you who is going back over and over and over again. Rockies fans. The Rockies have the second worst record in baseball. And over the weekend, they averaged 35,000 fans per game. Are Rockies fans just gullible, bored, dying for excitement to sit out in the sun? What is going on here? Because Dick Monfort is laughing his ass all the way to the bank with a crappy baseball team. That's next. I'm seeing stars, I can't believe my eyes. Seeing stars, oh my, starry-eyed surprise. Sundown to sunrise, dance all night. We gonna dance all night.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman, Hurdle. Watch us, MyLifeSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call, 303-289-1600, or go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about getting cash for your stuff. Pretty cool. By the way, if your siding, your windows, or doors need a makeover, you need to go with the best, Paramount Siding and Windows. Paramount just named the best siding contractor in the Best of Mile High magazine. They were a top three finalist in the windows and doors categories. What do their customer think? Well, nearly 600 five-star Google reviews. They are the best at what they do. Love working with them. They are honest. They came over, looked at a couple of windows. They just needed fixing. Instead of selling me brand new windows, what did they do? They decided, we'll just fix it for you. I mean, seriously, not many people do that.
Nope.
Go to ParamountSidingAndWindows.com. Real quick, do you have HBO?
Think so.
Did you see...
No.
The 2.5-hour documentary on Steve Van Zandt.
No.
It is great.
Yeah, I will see it at some point, but I have not seen it yet. Love myself some Scooter, so it's all good.
Not Miami Steve? Not Little Stevie? But you're going to call him Scooter?
Yeah.
Nobody called him Scooter in 2.5 hours.
Scooter and the Big Man, plus the city in half.
That's a song?
10th Avenue Freeze Out.
Well, he was instrumental in Darkness on the Edge of Town. Yeah. He was instrumental in Borderlands.
He was instrumental on a lot of things. They've been friends since they were 16 years old.
After watching this documentary, I'm sure you will disagree, although maybe you won't. I don't know how much you know about his life. I'm guessing a lot. Is that fair to say?
Pretty good.
So you had Bruce Springsteen, Southside Johnny, and then Steve Van Zandt. I am not so sure Bruce Springsteen is Bruce Springsteen without Steve Van Zandt. To me, after watching this and already knowing more than a few things before that, if I have said many, many times, Michael Jordan does not win a championship without Scottie Pippen. And I'll argue that with anybody who wants to have that discussion all day. Bruce Springsteen was Michael Jordan. Steve Van Zandt is Scottie Pippen. And I don't think that Bruce Springsteen has the career that he has without Steve Van Zandt.
I think that that's a fair statement, as I think it would be with anyone in the creative process that has to have collaboration for it to work. The creative process, I think, in their situation, Springsteen is the clear writer. He's the poet. He's the storyteller.
And Steve Van Zandt is the producer and the arranger.
Yeah.
And a tremendous writer in his own right.
Not a great singer, but, you know, he's...
They all kind of sound the same.
I think Steve Van Zandt...
He's okay.
...is only fair.
Right.
Only fair, vocally. But he's a good player, and they've got great history. That's like Stones type of history with Mick Jagger, you know.
And Richards.
And Charlie Watt. when you have that kind of history and it's a successful and congenial history and a good working history, it's like Elton John and Bernie Taupin, or
right. Paul McCartney and Lennon.
Right. Guys that have worked together and have great trust, but beyond that, also have a creative connection.
Well, so. but here's the difference, I think, is that McCartney and Lennon, they are seen as a duo,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a quartet.
Right.
Okay.
Well, they were the songwriters.
Mick Jagger is clearly the front man.
Right.
However, Keith Richards is certainly famous in his own right.
Keith Richards is the grit in that band. That's what makes the Stones great to me.
However, you need to dig deep to see the influence on Steve Van Zandt. You got to really understand. You got to want to learn about it, because it is, honestly, when you look at, and we are, have we talked about sports yet? Are you okay with this, Gordon? Yeah, I think we're going to.
Well, it wouldn't resonate with Gordon or Nigel.
Right.
This isn't their wheelhouse.
When people say about Bruce Springsteen, pick a duo of Bruce and the E Street Band, who's the first person you think of?
Steve Van Zandt?
No. No. Okay. Not for the casual fan.
Clarence Clemons.
You got it.
Right.
It's the big man.
Yeah.
The big man on the sax.
Yeah.
But it's Steve Van Zandt.
Well, yeah, Steve Van Zandt was there from the very beginning.
Right.
I mean.
But the front man, even though Steve Van Zandt, great guitar player, would always, you know, sing with Bruce Springsteen, it's Bruce and Clarence.
Yes. I think
that. From an outsider's
when person. You think of the E Street Band, you probably do think, you think of Clarence Clemons. You think of Jake Clemons now. You really do. He's not the personality of his uncle, but he is a very strong personality and a good player.
And here's something else to consider. When you talk about how music influences or can influence things in the world, Steve Van Zandt is the closest thing to Bob Geldof as you can get.
Hmm.
Apartheid crumbled because of Steve Van Zandt. Because of him. Let me say that again. Because of him. He's the one who shone a light onto apartheid. Nelson Mandela.
You mean Bob Geldof?
No. I mean Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah, okay.
Steve Van Zandt is one of the driving forces, one of the main reasons why Nelson Mandela was released from prison in South Africa.
Gotcha.
And he is widely credited for it by almost everybody in the music community, guessing something that you already knew, but the depth to which they go into it is a wow.
Very interesting guy in that, and the Sopranos, they debuted 25 years ago last week.
He has had a life people would say, I would love to live this life.
Yeah, an absolutely remarkable life. And he seems still to this day very appreciative, very humbled by it, and the kind of dude that you'd love to just sit down and have a conversation with.
I'll say this. I have loved Bruce Springsteen since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But now that I've learned more about Stevie Van Zandt, if I had a choice between having a beer with him or Bruce Springsteen, oh, it's Steve Van Zandt all
there you go.
Day.
There you go.
For you, Bruce and Bruce.
Yeah, it would be Bruce. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Springsteen is representative for me, has the soundtrack to my life.
Right.
I mean, and others have a lot, you know, Gary Talent, Roy Bittan, guys like that have a lot to do with it and their influence on the E Street Band. But it's, when I met him, that was one of the first things I told him.
If you go back and look at your records, if you have records still, which I do.
I actually do.
Go back and look at the label in the middle of the record, because it shows who produced the song. And Steve Van Zandt's name goes pretty much all the way down. Not necessarily Bruce Springsteen, although he's all over it too.
Yeah.
But it is Steve Van Zandt, and it is impressive.
He is impressive. He's been, and he continues to be a big part of the E Street Band. Long may they wave.
The only thing more impressive than Steve Van Zandt is how Dick Monfort is laughing all the way to the bank, because people just keep going to the games no matter how bad the team is, and really, no matter how bad the teams they are playing. That's next.
Devil who frees out. I was standing in the jungle trying to take in all the heat they was giving. Devil
out of- Baby, I like your stone.
Grips on your ways, front way, back way. You know that I don't play. Streets not safe, but I never run away, even when I'm away. OT, OT, there's never much love when we go OT. I pray to make it back in one piece. I pray, that's why I need a one dance.
Got it. Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call, 303-289-1600. Make some cash, or you can go to their website, RollerAuction.com/sell. You make the same amount of money. Just reach out to them either way. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is brought to you by Nola Jane Restaurant and Bar. Let Nola Jane spice up your next trip to Lodo with the best Cajun cuisine in Denver.
Rockies averaged over 35,000 per game on their recent 10-game homestand. Just to break it down, I know the Dodgers have a lot of fans there. For the Dodgers game, the 4-game series, the average attendance was 35,200. Against the Pirates, that don't travel well, and the Nationals, that don't travel well, the average attendance was 34,800. The Rockies went 3-7. I'm not starting to get the feeling, but this is proof positive. This team, no matter how bad it is bulletproof.
It is bulletproof. It's remarkable. When you stop to think that the last time this team sniffed any kind of competitive relevance, it was 2018. Now, they were pretty competitive. They played to the very last day for a division title against the Dodgers, but they really have not been heard from competitively since then, and have been, over the last few years, simply a bad baseball team. Now, we've talked about this in the weeds. If you want to get there, you can find a reason. But that's for guys like me that just love everything about the game of baseball and can go and identify a few guys and be happy watching just them function for a couple of hours. I don't think most people are like that. So it's the ballpark. It's the ambiance. It's the experience. It might be, in the Dodgers' case, obviously, and we've seen this before with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs and the Cardinals, people will come out and will follow their teams.
But that's why I brought up the Pirates and the Nationals.
But you're right. We were talking about this last night. When you look at the opposite ends of the extreme, with the Dodgers in the middle, and the Dodgers were here starting Monday through Thursday, 4 games, and you did have weekends for the Pirates and for Washington, but it's the Pirates and the Nationals.
When the season began, they had a difficult time drawing fans.
They did.
And I think a lot of us thought, okay,
here it is.
Maybe, just
comments
maybe,
are being made.
We're tired of this garbage that Bill Schmidt keeps throwing out on the field. Well, apparently the Rockies go as the weather goes. The nicer it is, and even if the baseball isn't nice, people are going to go.
How much better spot is there in Denver than for a 6:40 or 7 o'clock start at the ballpark at Coors Field for a Rockies game.
If you're drawing 38,000 with a terrible team, that's why I've said for many, many years,
yep,
the Rockies, if they were winning, if you took all four teams and they're all consistently winning, there is no question the Rockies would be the second most popular team in town.
Yeah, Broncos will always be at the front of the line, but I feel you. And there are times, and I go to the ballpark a fair amount, and there are times when it's very obvious that they're there supporting the other team. Okay, we get it. And it's not unlike that in other places as well. There are teams that travel well in Major League Baseball. They are. But I will say this. Rockies fans, they're there in numbers. Now, I don't know
if... Are they Rockies fans or looking for something to do on a nice day fans?
I think the latter is true. They know when to cheer. They don't have to be cued to cheer. They
Ask Ian Desmond, he would say the complete opposite.
Everybody
clap your hands.
Well, yeah, there's prompting at every game. I mean, you know, you go to a major league ballpark.
There's no prompting at Fenway Park.
No.
There's no prompting at Yankee Stadium.
Those are different.
There's
places.
No prompting in St. Louis or Chicago.
Those are all outliers because those are legacy. Those are iconic franchises because of their history and the deep rooted, the importance that it in all of those cities that the baseball team furnishes.
There are exceptions, but I wouldn't say that in Milwaukee. I would say that probably in Tampa, but I wouldn't say that in Milwaukee. I wouldn't say that in a bunch of other markets.
Well, I mean, I've been to a lot of games. It's not an unfamiliar thing. I don't think it's the driving force for Rockies fans. I don't think that they are, you know, horses being led to water and, you know, they need the cue to drink. They understand enough about the game of baseball that they can follow along at home. I'm not saying that, but I think more than anything, it is a very nice day, evening, socially.
Okay, but hold on.
To go to the ballpark.
Do you think a lot of those people, when it's not a Dodgers or a Yankees or a Cubs, do you think a lot of them are out there to see the Rockies or because it's a nice day outside or a nice night and you want to have something different and fun to do?
I think there's a lot of that. Yes.
Well, if you're out there because it's a nice place to be on a nice summer night, then you do need to be prompted because you're not paying attention.
Yeah, but
you can't have it both ways.
Well, you can have it both ways because baseball is not a game that you have to pay attention to. I mean, you don't have to pay attention to every single moment in a baseball game.
But baseball fans pay attention.
They do. Let me ask you a question. Does the vast majority of fans that go to Rockies game know who Brenton Doyle, Nolan Jones, and Ezekiel Tovar are?
Maybe Tovar,
right?
And they certainly know who Kyle Freeland is. The way, was dealing yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Hadn't pitched in 2 months.
And was at 69 pitches, gave up one hit through six.
And, of course, the bullpen. One guy was good. It's just the closer.
Who Beeks, who's been good this year.
Where the hell is Beeks?
Jalen Beeks.
Anybody, did you get that reference, Gordon? Where the hell is Beeks?
No.
God. It's from Trading Places. Where the hell is Beeks?
Yeah. Well, you're not going to get that because that's a long time ago.
I mean, I can't even quote Saved by the Bell to Gordon. He doesn't even get that.
What? You can't even do me with Saved by the Bell.
It's not your generation. Yeah. It's not his. Like when I was single after I got divorced, I made a strong effort. I would not date anyone who could relate to Saved by the Bell. And that's not that much younger than me. I always wanted to date somebody closer to my age. If Saved by the Bell is one of the greatest sitcoms of your lifetime, sorry, not going to work out for me.
Is there such thing? I guess there is such a thing as a great sitcom.
That's not a great sitcom.
But that's not a great sitcom, right?
No.
I mean, and I haven't even seen it.
No, you're not missing much.
Because I wasn't curious at all about it.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
This longtime NHL Avalanche is officially announcing his retirement, and we'll discuss how the Rockies won in the most controversial way on Saturday night. That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, mileisports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments right now of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call to make some cash, 303-289-1600. Go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, going back to the Rockies, one of their games this past Saturday night against the Nationals, they won that game by a final score, in a walk-off, but probably in the most controversial way on a pitch violation, and this is the first time that's ever happened in the MLB, and the bases were obviously loaded, and the Rockies won it off. What are your thoughts on the violation by
not
the pitcher?
Not wild about it. I get it, letter of the law. Really, is that how we want to end a game?
I mean, how about just don't do it? It's the rule. I mean,
you're right. You're absolutely right.
If the bases were loaded and it was a balk, are we going to say the same thing? How often is a balk called with the bases loaded? It isn't.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
It's a rule. Right?
It's an unsatisfying end. Yes, it's a rule, and by the rule, that's fine, and it's great that the Rockies won a game. But if I'm sitting there watching that, I would probably feel like, come on. Put a ball into play. Let's see a ball batted in and, batted and a run scored because of it. But it is what it is. It's fine. By the way, the Rockies went 3-7 on the homestand. They did win that game. They blew three other games, two of them egregiously. They are a confusing group to me. Well, actually, it's not very confusing because the relief corps is so incendiary that it makes sense. But it's just a damn shame that they can't get to games at the end where they are basically handed a win and can't finish it.
Think about the word you just used. Relief.
Yeah.
It's the complete opposite.
Totally.
Bullpen. Bullish. Stock market. Bull market. Bear market. Are you bullish on the bullpen? No. Is there any relief? No.
No.
It's the complete opposite.
You're exactly right.
All right, guys. Just in case you missed it, after Friday's show, after 19 long seasons in the NHL and close to 1,300 games, Avalanche center Andrew Cogliano officially announces his retirement. Cogliano was drafted back in 2005 by the Edmonton Oilers and had a couple Ironman streaks. He had four seasons with the Oilers playing all 82 games and then five later on with the Anaheim Ducks. And obviously Cogliano was a huge part of helping the Avs win the Cup two seasons ago. Your thoughts on his retirement?
Congratulations to him for a tremendous career. He will be always remembered in Denver, Colorado, for the part that he played on a Stanley Cup champion for the Colorado Avalanche, and I'm glad that he's going to work in the front office. He's a guy that will continue to be around, we hope. He's always been very gracious with his time. He's always been a stand-up guy. And, Eric, he's always been a really good player down on those lines that you love to talk about.
Well, that's where his
that's
life
it.
Lived.
That's where he was, and that's where he was good. And so
he was a glue guy.
Yeah, very much so.
Good veteran to have in the locker room. Didn't put up a lot of points. He was consistent. He got the most out of his talent. Was he a great player? No. But was he important? Yeah. He was important to have a good veteran on the team.
There you go.
And good for him going into the front office, and we'll see where that new path takes him.
Wish him well.
Yeah.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, in the All-SEC College World Series, Texas A&M took down Tennessee in the first game on Saturday by a final score of 9-5. But Tennessee didn't go down without a fight yesterday, beating the Aggies 4-1. All comes down to a final elimination game later on today, 5 p.m. local. Who do you think comes away with their first program's championship?
I think it'll be Tennessee. I'm kind of pulling for Texas A&M, and why, don't ask me. It's just kind of like grasping at something out of the air, but that's what I come away with. Whatever. Yeah. And I'm a College World Series guy. I mean, I've covered like 7 or 8 of them. I love Omaha, love the College World Series. All SEC tournaments to me are not as interesting. I like it when we get a different leagues playing one another, or a cold weather team playing a warm weather team, or something like that. To me, the storylines just haven't been that good. Although, it's odd that neither one of them have won a national championship in the game of baseball.
I've only covered one College World Series, and it's an event that everybody should try and find
it's
a way
fun, isn't it?
To go to. There are a lot of great phrases that come out of all sports. I'll use hockey as my example. Put the biscuit in the basket. Top shelf where mama hides the cookies. But my favorite comes from the College World Series. 0-2 and barbecue.
Yeah.
0-2 and barbecue.
2-2 and barbecue.
Do you know what that means, Gordon?
No.
Explain it to him.
That means you lose two games, you're basically going to Cancun. Or
your barbecue.
In a college kid's case, you're having a barbecue.
0-2 and barbecue, meaning no, you're cooked.
Yeah.
That's how I read it. You're cooked.
2-Q.
Not that you're going to a barbecue.
No, you are barbecue.
You are barbecue.
You are skewered.
Well done.
2-Q.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, Malik Monk announced, the free agent announced he was going to sign a 4-year, $78 million deal to stay with the Kings, and a new player option as well. What are your thoughts on him staying with the Kings and helping the West stay strong out there?
The Kings were a little bit of a disappointment to me this year.
Yeah. For what they did the year before.
For the year before, they were lighting the lamp and they were having fun, and they were, you know, they played
lighting the lamp.
Well, they were playing into, you know,
laser
game sevens and stuff like that. And they kind of just faded away a little bit last year. That's still a team with three really good players, Monk being one of them. So that's it. And we never mentioned Sacramento kind of in the reshuffling of the, not even the reshuffling, but just how strong the West is. Sacramento has the potential, again, to be one of those teams. So, good for Sacramento.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, right now there's the 4th of July Luxury Appliance event. It goes through July 10th. Notice I didn't say through July 4th. Through July 10th. It's already started. When you buy a luxury appliance like Decor, Gen Air, Lofra, Marvel, Monogram Kitchen, Signature Series, or Thermador, pay no interest for 18 months with approved financing if paid in full with a minimum purchase of $499. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Hypocrisy. Can't stand hypocrisy. I mean, does hypocrisy really bother you like it bothers me?
I don't think anything bothers me quite like it bothers you. But
right,
I mean, I would say
it bothers
probably,
me.
It bothers me.
It bothers me when somebody says somebody does one thing and then says the complete opposite.
That should bother you.
It does bother me. Be consistent. Well, Deion Sanders has done it again. That's next.
If we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. I see.